The unknown cannot be known. What is known is not the unknown. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. John 13:15. That was an example that Jesus gave to his disciples. As he loved his disciples, they should love one another, because that was the only translation of reality into daily living. He showed them, not telling them or trying to show them what reality was, but the example for them to follow so that they could translate reality into their daily living. When we rebel against effects, we only increase their intensity without gaining any understanding or relief. The most destructive conditioning today is brought about through the battle between individuals one way or another. Man is battling with himself and loses more than he gains. In every nation and every group, there is a conception of reality which they call God. But is this not just an intellectual approach to reality? Most people are discussing reality so as to find out what reality is. Hence, we have so many different philosophies, so many different religions, each one trying to find out what God is or telling you what he is, but the known can never be the unknown. So you see, with all our preaching and all our praying, it was the example that Jesus gave to his disciples that enabled them to understand. But when you are listening to a lecture or listening to a sermon, you are only reacting from one idea to another. And that is how you listen. If you listen then to me, through your own conditioning, you're not listening at all. If you're listening and rejecting what I say, you're not listening at all. If you're listening and accepting what I say because it suits your conditioning, you're not listening at all. But if you listen, and through your listening, there is a beginning of understanding the self and what the self stands for, then you are listening. And that is transformation. It is the intellect that is always reacting. Now, reaction and action are two different things altogether. When you go to a picture, you're continually reacting to what you see and hear on the screen. Certain ideas you have in your mind are molded into different ideas you see on the screen, and you get a certain amount of pleasure or emotion from it. That we would call reacting. But when you listen properly, there is something else. There is a deep state of activity that takes place within you, and that is the change that's taking place in the individual through understanding the self, through understanding the things that are false. When we understand the things that are false, then the things that are true come forth of their own free will because you do not create them. At the present time, we are on the verge of having a so-called peace. But if your peace is in opposition to a state of turmoil, you have no peace, because you have just opposites. So if the turmoil still exists, no matter whether it is inwardly or outwardly, peace cannot exist, because you cannot have two opposites together and forming one. But if the turmoil ceases through understanding what it is, peace comes into being because you do not create peace. We are trying to create a peace, but you cannot create a peace. You only create a peace in opposition to something else. That is a created peace. But a true peace does not come into being that way at all. True peace comes into being when the turmoil ceases through the understanding of what the turmoil is and what it means and how it comes about. To see the falseness of it, then it will drop away and peace is there because you do not create it. You do not create mathematics. The law of mathematics is a universal thing. The law of rhythm is a universal thing. You do not create these fundamentals whatsoever. When you make a note that is out of harmony with other notes, you have made what you call an inharmonious sound. You interfere with the rhythm, therefore it jars upon you. But when you allow rhythm to manifest through you in the form of music, that music comes into being and there is rhythm. Then there is a pleasant sensation, because you do not create rhythm. Rhythm is. It's the vibration of the universe that is continuing activity. It is in the atom. It is in the molecule. It is in the cell. It is in the body. It is in the world. It's all responding to this rhythm which we do not create. So you do not create peace. You do not create love. You do not create wisdom. You do not create any of the fundamentals of the universe. But when you dissolve away the false, then these come into being without effort. That's the simplicity of the truth. The truth is so simple when we understand it. We only have to understand the false and see how it comes about. The truth remains. It is not created by you. It is an established foundation of the universe. Therefore, we will never have peace while this peace is a created peace in opposition to war. Because the both will remain, just as good and evil remains on the one tree, just as faith and fear remain on the one tree, just as opposites exist in the mind, there can be no peace because there will be conflict. What I am doing now is to show you what the false is, so that which is really true will come into being. And the more you know of the false, the more the true will reveal itself. That is the simplicity of the truth. The mind cannot comprehend reality, but we can translate reality into our daily living by understanding that the only way we can approach reality is by affection and love. Then we find ourselves giving expression to reality itself. Thus we translate reality into our daily life. Because love is a fundamental principle of reality. It is reality itself. Therefore, to translate reality into our daily living, we have to love. But not a love that comes and goes. Not a love where you love one person and hate another. That is not love. In your own mind you will say, well, I hate that person. Now you will say, no, I must not hate that person, I must love that person. And you create an idea of love to escape the fact that you are hating some person. But when you begin to see why you hate that person, understand hate, and you will find it will dissolve away. And there is love. That is the love I want you to have. Not a love that rises out from hate, where you say that you must love some person because you hate them. That is mere stupidity. But if you will look into your mind, you will see that was happening. But you can only know the truth of things when you realize the wholeness of things. That is to say, if I look at you conditioned in myself, because I've conditioned myself, because I'm prejudiced against the group or the nationality or the religion or whatever the case may be, which you belong to, then I look at you through my conditioning, don't I? I can have no relationship with you. Well, that must be false, because there can be no isolation in reality. Now, if I discern clearly why I hate you and I can see my conditioning, then my conditioning will dissolve away. Then I will begin to understand you. I'll begin to realize what you are, and I will have relationship with you. The trouble is that most people are looking through their own conditioning to another person. And you will also condition the other person through your own conditioning. But if you look into your mind, you will see how you are conditioned. And if you can discern how you are conditioned, your conditioning will fall away from it. Then you will have a relationship. Reality can only express itself through its own fundamentals and through nothing else. Reality can only express itself when you are totally and completely aware every moment, because you can only live every moment. You can only live moment for moment. You don't live yesterday and you don't live tomorrow. You only live now. And you will notice, if you are careful and you are aware, you will notice how you are living. But if you do not know how you are living, what happens to you? Then, in your mind, you have the past, you have the future. And the past and the future is blunting the present. It is spoiling the present. There is no creativeness in yesterday and tomorrow. There's only creativeness in the livingness that is at this moment. Therefore, you must discern clearly and be aware, moment to moment, so that if you are aware moment to moment, you cannot be conditioned. You cannot be conditioned. You're only conditioned through memory. You're only conditioned through the past. You're only conditioned because of the past and through your experiences. That belongs to your mind. And you must recognize what is false. You must recognize what is relative and what is real. Now, reality is nothing of these at all. Reality does not exist in the past or the future. It always exists now. And because it exists now, it is real. And because it is real, it has the fundamentals of reality, which are love, wisdom, and through those two comes the direct power of the Christ principle. Most people are trying to corner a bit of reality for their health and success. If they succeed, they say they are expressing reality. But when they find that it does not work, there is frustration. This is not expressing reality. It is mere suggestion in opposition to another suggestion or an idea that is held hidden in the mind, and according to the dominant idea, so it will manifest. So they are telling you that they are expressing reality. We know nothing of what reality is. Reality is not concerned with these things. Reality is living moment to moment in its completeness. And in that completeness there is everything. Not a part, but everything. Now, I don't want you to think that you've got to make an idea of this living in reality so that you can have everything. That is stupid. But unless you become active and discern and be aware every moment to moment, and when you are aware, you will see the falseness, then reality in itself, after that falseness is dissolved away, then you will find reality expressing itself in its completeness. That was Jesus the Christ. That was his fullness of his Christship, the fullness of his sonship, the Son of God. And if you say that you are the Son of God, you must express God in that sonship. And God in that sonship is to dissolve all that is false. And Jesus did that in the desert. He found all that was relative. And he arrived at that point where all relative things had dissolved away. He saw the falseness of everything. And through the falseness of everything, he saw clearly what it meant. Even when the person asked him about the wheat and the tares, these two things grow together, he said, just as good and evil grew out of the same tree. They have the one root. The tares and the wheat grew out of the ground, out of the one ground and the one force expressing them both. So is good and evil. And he says, wait till the harvest comes, then you'll see that that which is God's will be God's. That is to say, that if you look at the things clearly, and you will find that which is false and that which is real. And the false, it will dissolve away and the real will be there. So the real will be remained in the corn, in the grain, where the false will be dissolved into nothingness, disappearing into its own nothingness. I wish you could understand Jesus and his words. So wonderful are his words, that when you know the truth about things, when you know the falseness, you can see exactly what he means. But what a wonderful mind he had. And when I read part of what he says and I think about it, I can see the wonderfulness of that great and wonderful man, truly a son of God, having known all the false, yet not bothered about it. Yet he didn't worry over it. Leave it alone. You don't pull up the roots, leave it alone. It grows side by side, and doesn't good nor evil grow side by side? Well, they've got to one tree, and they got to one root. But where does that root grow out of? It doesn't grow out of God. It grows out of man's mind. That's what man thinks about things. Life is the only thing that comes from God. And in life, there is everything. Life is everywhere. There is nowhere where it is not. Life has created everything out of itself. Life is not only the creator of everything, but it is everything in itself. We must realize that there is only one way to express reality, and that is through love and affection. Then there is no frustration, no opposition, for reality can only express itself through love and affection. But this affection does not mean that you merely love God with the idea that you can get what you want. It means that you must love your neighbor, because reality cannot express itself except through loving your neighbor. The least you do to one of these, so you have done unto me. Is it not a fact today that people are seeking the love of God but hate their enemies? What is all the preaching and the praying about today? What is any sectional prayer? Is it of any value? A prayer that is divided, a prayer that is given up in division, is of no value whatsoever. But Jesus said, if you come to offer your gift, first leave your gift here, and if a brother has anything against you, go and make it well with him, and then come back and offer the gift. That is prayer. We pray to God for peace, but they are preparing for war. They want success and happiness at the expense of their neighbor, but they are really cheating themselves. If you look into your own mind, you will see that there is but a subtle form of suggestion which is deeply rooted in your conditioning. So your inward poverty makes you look to the external while you merely discuss reality. You are not translating reality into your daily living. You are merely projecting the self. And it is the self that must become nothing. And when you know that you are nobody at all, then you will be everything. Because it is the self that is preventing that wholeness and completeness from expressing itself. It is not created by you or anyone else. And the love of God is not your love or my love. It's a love that is beyond the physical realm. It, you are the means through which it is expressing itself. And how then can you be able to express this love? By dissolving the false. Not that a love will become something in opposite to hate, because then there is no love. Just as I say that peace is in opposition to war, then there can be no peace. And there can be no peace while you prepare for war. If you look into your minds, you will see that you have been discussing reality as an idea. So the idea in your mind becomes to you the truth. When it is only an idea of the truth, and it is not the truth. So you hear people saying, that is the truth. No one knows the truth. The known cannot be the unknown. The unknown can never be the known. And the known can never be the unknown. Because the known is always relative. It belongs to the mind. And the mind is relative. And when you recognize and see that the mind is relative, that man's mind is a relative thing, in which he creates ideas and names of things, which is not the things itself. Therefore the idea of God or the name of God is not God himself. So you can preach and pray till you're blue in the face. It will make no difference to you until you realize that you're giving expression to reality, that you are translating reality into your daily living through the foundations of reality. Those principles that do exist and are not created, nor are they built up in your mind, nor are they formulated in your mind. In most truth literature, the great mistake ignorantly made is that the mind is directed to create an idea of reality. Reality is life, and the mind cannot conceive what it is. Therefore, it is useless trying to make an idea of life. But when we see that our idea is but an imitation, a mental conception, it dies away. It dissolves away, and life becomes a reality to us. Not an idea or a mental formulation, but an actual livingness. That's what it is, that actual livingness. And you can't tell me what's living. It is the unknown. But this I know, and you know that it is. But you cannot tell what it is. But immediately you dissolve the false, and these things that hates, and you understand jealousies, and you understand these things, they fall away. And there in that which is not created, the unknown which is not created, comes into being, and you're translating reality in your daily living. God then becomes a reality to you in your daily living. And not only then, but you will not be expressing yourself. It will be the totality of all things, the wholeness of everything that will be expressing itself. And there lied the power of Jesus himself. There lied the power of that divine man that realized the complete and the wholeness of everything. When he said, I and the Father are one, it wasn't an idea, he said, in his mind about it. It was a natural expression of reality. It's a natural livingness giving expression to itself in love and affection. As long as we have only a mental image of reality, we will never give expression to reality in loving our neighbor as ourselves. If you have an idea of reality, you can see it's just an idea of reality. And if you have an idea of reality that does not express reality, but you can hate your neighbor while you still have an idea of reality, and that's an escape. Because you don't like to see why you hate your neighbor. Therefore, you create an idea of reality, an idea of love. That's why you say, oh, I hate so-and-so. And you say, no, oh, I must not hate so-and-so. I must love passion. Oh, stupid. Isn't that hypocrisy? I say the worst form of hypocrisy. Our separate beliefs will create our divisions. We must realize that we do not live by ourselves. It is reality that lives. Therefore, it is the foundation of our being. When we have found the source within, we no longer look outside ourselves. Neither do we build an intellectual conception on the authority of another. Neither will we try to corner reality to gain health and success, for we will know that reality is all. Thus the inner becomes the outer. But if you are not sure, you want an authority to tell you. And this authority becomes your authority. And so you'll have another authority after a little while, because you will change from one authority to another. And as you grow in your intellectual conception of the truth, so you will grasp another particular authority. And every book that falls into your hands will be an authority. And you will say, so-and-so quoted this, and so-and-so quoted that. And you will hear people standing up continuously quoting the words of bygone ages. Is that any use in translating reality? That is nothing more than creating an idea and a reaction to an idea. It gives you nothing at all about reality. It only gives you a mental conception which seems pleasing to you to overcome the things that you are afraid of. And because you hate, because you have all these false things, these quotations give you a feeling of relief, an escape from looking at yourself to see what you really are. But it is only by seeing what you really are that you can get rid of what you are. And by getting rid of what you are, without struggle, without condemnation, without criticism, but looking at it clearly and completely impersonally, then you will not be caught up in what you are, and you will find it will drop away from you, and that which is takes its place. The only words I quote was to quote the words of the Master himself, because I know he's the only man that ever gave the truth to the world. You ever hear me quoting quotations, one quotation after another? I think it's stupid, silly. The simple reason because I think it's silly is this. It gives the individual who's quoting it a sort of intellectual superiority, which is stupid. Intellectualism does not give you the truth. It only takes you away from the truth. Ignorance is not the absence of knowledge. Ignorance is the absence of true value. The surface consciousness is generally reacting to the external and gives names to the things it sees. But the name is not the thing itself. We see the shape and the form, but we do not know the substance, therefore we do not understand what we see. We see shape and form and we say so and so and so and so. That is a table, that is a glass. But do you know the substance of that? Because you don't know what you see. You only see shape and form, and you give it a name. Now think, and you will see how the mind acts and how the mind works. But you will see that that is not the thing itself, is it? Therefore, you don't understand very much about it, after all, do you? No matter how you claptrap about everything, you know very little about it, don't you? The statement that all is mind, that matter is mind materialized, has not been realized sufficiently to understand what is behind the form and shape. When this is realized as a fact and not as an idea of a fact, we will cease to make ideas about it. Man has split the atom, created great flying ships, has measured the distance between the planets on the way to the moon. Yet this will not bring happiness and peace to the world, for only the translation of reality into our daily living can do that. We must discern from where our thoughts arise. If thought arises from things around us, or from our conditioning, then our thoughts must cease to be before the unknown comes into being. The mind must be quiet. The mind must be silenced. But you will think what I am saying is wrong. You try and see if you can translate reality into your daily living through an idea. Is your idea not in conformity or to another idea or in opposition to another idea? The source of our being is God. Then we will know that the Father is our consciousness, and our consciousness is the means through which the Father manifests. It's the Father that doeth the work. The Creator and His creation are one. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We must not lose ourselves in philosophies, in questioning others, on that which can only be realized by oneself. If I begin to philosophize to you on the wonders of reality, you would only build up an idea of reality in your mind. But if you know that you are building up an idea of reality and know that reality is not an idea, then you will realize reality by living in the ever-present love and wisdom. Then you will be translating reality into your daily living. So you must know that it is only an idea of reality that you have in your mind. And if you do not know what's an idea of reality you have in your mind, how can you ever express reality? I don't have to know an idea to express reality. It's the peace of the mind. It's the living. The mind that becomes peaceful. Then reality expresses itself in wholeness and completeness. Reality is not divided in you and me. There is no division in reality. It must express itself in its wholeness and completeness. You will realize also that God created you in himself, out of his own substance, out of his own consciousness, out of his own life, because there can be no other substance, no other life, no other consciousness. This brain, this instrument that he created, is a creation of his. I am given free will, an expression apparently of a separate consciousness. Only that separate consciousness is to enable me to understand the completeness and the wholeness of one consciousness. And when I arrive at the fact that the individual consciousness is nothing, then I come to the realization that infinite consciousness is my consciousness, is one. This doesn't become an idea because there is no ideas left in the mind whatsoever, but the expression of reality. One person said, how can you express anything if you haven't an idea? Which you will see clearly, that an idea is self-created, but reality is not self-created. You do not create reality. You only create an idea of reality. You think then that reality comes through your idea of reality? Only when your idea ceases to be, when the mind is silenced, there is love and wisdom. One idea will always be in opposition to another idea, and you'll have conflict. There is always conflict in ideas, but there is no conflict in reality. Reality's foundation is wholeness, completeness, wisdom, and love. If I begin to philosophize to you in the one reality, you would only build an idea of reality in your mind, but you know that you are building up an idea of reality, and know that reality is not an idea. Then you will realize reality by living in the present, in the ever-present love and wisdom. Then you'll be translating reality into your daily living. God is unknown and cannot be known. The moment you think you know God, it is not God you know, but an idea of God, a projected mental image which hinders the discovery of the unknown. Beliefs are a process of the mind. They are born of the known. If you merely say God is the unknown, so you create an idea of the unknown. So it is not an idea of the known that I want you to have, because I say God is the unknown, that you will never know the unknown. So you create an idea of the unknown. You're just the same as you created an idea thinking that God was the known. That is not the way to arrive at it at all. You must arrive at it by knowing what the false is. Then the true will express itself without effort. But your mental creation of the unknown is not the unknown. The man accumulates wealth, builds temples, organizes religions and bishops and cardinals, the preachers as well as the man who drops bombs, say God is a companion. Surely their belief is but a form of self-expansion. It is their own conceit. Those who have conditioned their minds to a particular pattern, which they call their religion, can never realize the ultimate reality, which is love and affection. You can see pomp and you can see all the things that are happening in the world. You can see the crowning of a queen or a king. And you can see all the paraphernalia and everything surrounding it. It's beautiful to look at and will give you an emotional reaction. And you'll hear the bishops and all the so-and-so pronouncing this and pronouncing that. But are they not words? Is there any action in that? That is all reaction, is it not? Is it not come from the intellect? If I say God is this and God is that, is it not an idea that I am expressing from the intellect? But that is not God. I am the living expression of God, not a formulation of the mind. For the unknown to be, the mind must be completely emptied, so that the important thing is not what you believe or disbelieve, or what your activities are, but to understand the whole process, the whole content of yourself. And that means being aware from moment to moment without any sense of accumulation. Without any sense of accumulation. Without any sense of any form. Without any title or rank. Without any condition whatsoever, sir, lord, or duke, no matter what it may be, it is from moment to moment you must exist, and in that moment to moment is the only thing, only time you can express reality, freed from all conditioning, no matter what it is, mental or physical. There is the clear and completeness of the Christ himself, and only in that way is truth revealed. The priests today hold themselves to gold and silver robes, gold and silver this and that, and speak from the mouth. The words come out in thousands. But Jesus went about in sandals. He spoke the truth quietly and simply in parables, because he could not tell what the truth was, but that the truth could be revealed from the parable which he spoke. And in his own expression of reality, what he touched changed into that which reality was itself, completeness. There was the expression of reality in his daily living. But can you say it's the expression of reality in daily living through a golden braid or golden gown and words that come from the mouth? My dear students, one day you will know these words that I have said to you. They'll come back to you, but not in the form of an idea, but you will experience them deeper down in your own being. You will experience a transformation that takes place through listening, discerning the self, being aware every moment. Only when the mind is utterly silent, without any sense of acceptance or rejection, without resistance, condemning or blaming, without any sense of accumulation, when the self has died, then only there is that which is real. The world is not important anymore, for there is a state of creativeness which is not an idea or a word, nor the expression of the self. I repeat that again because you must see clearly and feel clearly the meaning of these words. The world is not important anymore. That's it which comes out from the mouth. For there is no state of creativeness. Is there a state of creativeness in the world that comes from the mouth? A creativeness which is not an idea or a word, nor the expression of the self? Then you will know what is indescribable. And this description of the indescribable is merely a cultivation of memory. To verbalize the indescribable is to put it into time, and that which is of time cannot be the timeless. That which is of time is not the unknown. What is of time is the known. It's the timeless that is unknown. This knowing is not the result of the known, but knowing that the known is not the unknown. It is not obtained through reason, for it is beyond reason, but it does not run contrary to reason. It is not obtained through space or time factor, because it is ever present in its own eternity. Therefore, every moment, all life is concentrated at any point in its omnipresence that you may choose to realize. And only in that quietness of the mind, and that is what Jesus said to the centurion, "My servant at this moment is healed, is well." Therefore, every moment, all life is concentrated at any point in its omnipresence that you may choose to realize. Realizing is not knowing what it is, but knowing that it is. You do not create reality. Reality created you within itself, and itself is eternally present. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Yes. Father and I are one. There could be no separation between us. I could not speak lest the Father speak in me. No matter how I speak, the Father speaks greater than I. No matter what I do, the Father does greater than I. And Jesus said, "What I see the Father do, I do likewise." Divine reason helps towards this divine realization. We reason towards the ultimate. Then reason ceases to be. It becomes a silence before that which is greater than itself. Because it cannot go further. It knows it can never know. And at that moment, there is reality. Divine reason is the greatest and the furthest that the mind can reach. But it knows it cannot go further, and when it ceases to be, there is reality, there is life, in its love, in its wisdom, and its power, in its wholeness and its completeness. Science has shown us that solid substance can be changed into liquids into gases, and gases into a more rarefied substance we call ether, or vice versa. But the energy is still the same. There is nothing lost and nothing is gained, just a change in the polarity of the ether atoms. At present we are consciously reacting to the physical, yet consciousness can react to the finer states of matter, which is mind modified. There is but one substance out of which everything is made, and this substance interpenetrates everything. And although it is invisible to us, it's the basis of every visible form. It is the unmanifest that gives rise to the manifest. In other words, the invisible gives rise to the visible. And life, the unknowable, is the creativeness within that creates but still remains uncreated. And it is the uncreated alone that is created. The created cannot be the created. As Paul says, things are not made of things that are seen, but out of that which is unseen. If we seek to corner reality for our own welfare, we will become antagonistic to others, and this leads to frustration. It is always the I that stands in the way. Where there is love, the I dissolves away, and the wholeness of reality comes into being. In all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That is why Jesus said these words, because he knew to him they were true. But before they became a real realization of that truth, you see, he found the consciousness within himself was the consciousness of God. And the consciousness of God was creative in every plane, from the highest to the lowest. Therefore it was the creativeness in all spiritual states, from the angels down to the humans. The same consciousness existed in God, so the same consciousness manifested in all beings throughout the whole universe. Therefore, in that state of consciousness, he knew that all power had been given into him above and below. And that way he knew the truth. Yes, he was the greatest. He was truly the Son of God. The Son of Man became the Son of God. And that is the truth that we have too. As Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be raised up to become the Son of God. So the Son of Man, who is delved in the physical, who is controlled by the tree of good and evil, who is controlled by his own mind, his ideas and his images, he must forsake this tree that has roots growing from himself. He must forsake it entirely and cling to this tree of life, and that will become the well of living water rising up to eternal life, in which there is no division, no separation, and when there is no end and there is no beginning. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? St. Luke 12:20. Benediction. O great eternal reality, when I spoke of thee, my mind made up a conception of thee. When I saw that my conception was my own creation, it dissolved away. When I knew that the known could not possibly be the unknown, my mind ceased to formulate. Then my mind became silent and free, and there didst thou reveal thyself in all thy glory. Glory even before the world was. And in this silence beyond time, I knew that we were one, O great eternal reality. Let us turn into the sanctuary of the Son.